panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
Love like a bird flies away. 3CR 855am 3CR digital 3cr.org.au 3CR on demand Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. 3CR broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the intersection of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples, and we pay respect to elders past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, First Nations people tuning in from whichever land you are on, and always was, always will be Aboriginal land, and I hope you had a NAIDOC week that was meaningful and purposeful for you. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronouns she and her, and Out of the Pan is a show covering pansexual issues, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender, and we'll certainly be getting into that today. If you want to contact the show, there's all the technological means of communication and an old-fashioned one. You can use outofthepan855@gmail.com, SMS 61456751215, Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and Instagram at Sal Gold Said So, and that's the bottom line, and posts on Facebook, my page, Sally Goldner, and Out of the Pan 3CR, 855am Melbourne. Postal address, PO Box 1277, Collingwood 3066. Any opinions I express on the show are strictly my own. Thanks to the crew from Out of the Blue, diving deep for the marine news, as they always do, 11:30 till noon, although it's probably wetsuit season for diving deep today. Don't think there'll be any content warnings, so I won't do those as needed. And we opened up today very purposefully with Paul Kelly from the album Hidden Things, which was a Paul Kelly and the Messengers album from 1992, which had recordings that were sort of recordings made at times that had not been previously released. That was When I First Met Your Ma, which seems appropriate because I've got a great guest on the line to talk about a show that's happening in the upcoming Fringe Festival, that's distinct, which happens in later in this year, which is distinct from the Bob Festival that happens earlier in the year. Anyway, and on the line to talk about an amazing show, which I think is quite, which goes right, in my opinion, to what Fringe and grassroots arts need to be all about, is the creative director of Melbourne Fringe, Simon Abraham. Simon, welcome back to Out of the Pan.
Thank you, Sally, very much.
Good to be with you. Hope you're somewhere sheltered out of the wind today in windy Narm. But this show, when I got notified of it, is certainly one that is, well, I'll say unique to start off with in its nature, called First Trimester. Now, you're not involved in the show, but you're going to tell us why you're talking about it. What is First Trimester about? Let's start off by talking about that.
Absolutely. So First Trimester is an incredible work by a UK-based artist, Krishna Ispa. And I met Krishna and had this incredible conversation about 12 months ago, actually, in Edinburgh. And I just knew straight away, I'm the creative director at Melbourne Fringe, mm-hmm. and I knew straight away I had to bring this show to Melbourne Fringe. And it is one of a kind. As you said, you know, I've not seen anything quite like it. And basically Krishna and their partner, Logan, are incredible trans people who are wanting to become parents. They want to have a baby. And neither of them produce sperm.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for a sperm donor anywhere in the world, all around the world. And they're doing that through this work called First Trimester. And basically we are calling out for anyone who would like to have a conversation with Krishna about being a sperm donor or even just being part of the art project that is the conversation. Basically you have a 10-minute conversation with Krishna on stage,
mm-hmm.
and at the end of this global project, Krishna will find one sperm donor who they will choose to go forth and make a family with. So it's pretty incredible.
Wow. So that is, it is certainly incredible. I suppose the question that some people might be asking is, how does finding a sperm donor then fit into an amazing Fringe Arts Festival? Because it may, for some, it may not be immediately obvious.
That's right. Well, I mean, it's an art project, you know. It's both an art project and a family-making project. But, I mean, there's no sperm donation happening live on stage.
Yeah, glad we clarified that.
Yeah, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's an art project where, you know, Krishna is wanting to raise awareness about queer family-making and what it is as a trans person to be a parent. So it's as much about that as it is anything else. I mean, of course, it's true. They are literally looking for a sperm donor. They wouldn't have to go on a worldwide search to find one. So, I mean, it's an art project as much as it is, you know, a family-making project. And we literally are calling out for people to sign up to have a conversation live on stage. And if you're interested in being a sperm donor for Krishna, that's incredible. But also, you don't have to be doing that in order to sign up to be involved. Anyone who's kind of interested and believes in the power of art, you know, to kind of celebrate queer family making, can be part of a conversation, actually, whether you produce sperm or not.
Fair enough. So, tongue wedged firmly in cheek, it is a very inclusive project. By all means, we are all welcome of all diversities and all that sort of thing, which is what we always like on 3CR and Out of the Pan. I suppose the question is, you know, this is, you know, it is somewhat of a serious topic, but it's becoming art. How will this blend sort of things in together? If you're an audience member watching this performance, how will it work for them to get them sort of, you know, getting more towards the edge of the proverbial seat?
Yeah. So it is a very funny, engaging, interesting night at the theatre because Krishna's a comedian. So the interviews with all of those participants, one by one, 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes, will be engaging and entertaining and funny, and it's semi-scripted. So there's definitely this sense of entertainment through the event itself. And you can come along for a two-hour session and watch the interviews, or we actually have an eight-hour durational performance for anyone who really, you know, wants their big kick of art on a Saturday afternoon. You can come and watch 8 hours of interviews as well. So, you know, it's super entertaining and kind of high art all at the same time.
Well, 8 hours. I mean, look, I'm all for art, of course. The question is, will there be a coffee sponsorship to go with it?
Yeah, I hope so. You don't have to stay for the full 8 hours. It's a come and go as you like kind of event. Or as I say, there are shorter performances you can come to as well.
Fair enough. Yes. You know, there's certainly a good, you know, diverse range of possibilities there. Sorry, just brain overload there. You know, so it is an artistic and social experiment, exploring human connection. Now, I mean, the challenges of fertility and parenthood. So I'm curious, you know, tease us with what we're on about here with human connection and along with the fertility and parenthood conversations.
Yeah, so I guess a lot of people, maybe some of your listeners, and it's actually, of course, very common in our community where people are choosing donors, either sperm donors or increasingly egg donors too.
Yep.
And you're reading about someone's, usually education and age and some very basic information. But are they the things that you really care about when it comes to the DNA of your, you know, half of your child,
yeah,
your future child? Maybe not. You know, maybe they're not the things that matter. And actually, you want to get a sense of whether this person shares your values and, you know, whether this person believes in the kind of world that you want to create as well. And so that is Krishna's premise with this work, is to conduct these interviews and get a sense of a human connection and not simply where did you go to school, because who cares?
Yeah.
But that's often the information that potential recipients of sperm donors, sperm donations, that's information they receive. So this work is much more about saying, what are the things that matter? How do we connect with each other? And how do we value the things that we believe will make the world a better place?
I just had to sort of, well, lean back in my chair and take a deep breath there. I mean, I have not been through sperm donor or ART type of processes or anything like that. And the fact that you're asked which school you went to rather than what do you understand love to mean and what do you understand are the best things for a parent or something like that. Maybe you are asked that, but the fact that you'd be asked what school you went to, I'm sort of, well, I leant back and I haven't done a head desk yet, but I mean, I'm just a bit gobsmacked.
Well, I mean, I think also this is from the UK, this work, you know, so particularly in the UK, I think there can be quite a class-based system, And so, you know, it's really kind of go outside of education or you know, race. They're the information you often get, eye colour. They're not necessarily the things that matter, the things that value, the things that you might want half of your future child's DNA to be made up of. And so in this case, it's a chance to kind of seek out human connection and to have a conversation, to have many conversations with a stranger live on stage, you know, about what are the things that matter to us. And so that's what we're doing at the moment, where we're calling out for participants, for anyone who wants to get on stage and meet Krishna and talk to Krishna this October. And people might want to actually like the idea of going through and becoming a sperm donor, but you don't have to, you know, be wanting to do that in order to sign up. All you have to do is be willing to have a conversation with Krishna live on stage.
Cool. Krishna is obviously, you know, right at the centre of this, along with partner Logan. But tell us a little about Krishna, because obviously Krishna is, you know, as I say, the person, including artist, at the centre of it. So that's obviously critical, you know, as part of First Trimester, which is going to be part of Melbourne Fringe Festival. So tell us, Simon.
That's absolutely right. So Krishna's a performance artist, a comedian, a theatre maker, a screenwriter. They're based in London, and the kind of work they make is work that is kind of pushing boundaries about, you know, underrepresented experiences of gender and race and sexual politics. So, you know, Krishna's a trans person trying to get pregnant and start a family, but also they're hilarious and they're a writer. You might have seen them on Netflix. They were commissioned by Netflix to write a new comedy series there, and they were on Hannah Gadsby's specials on Netflix as well. And there's actually a documentary they're making about this First Trimester project as well. So, you know, they're super funny, super smart, super engaging, and, you know, an amazing human being.
Well, super funny, super smart, super engaging, amazing human being. Yep, that's trans. That sounds pretty right to me. Biased as I may be, but no, this is just awesome. This is, sort of so much. You know, this is what Fringe is about. I mean, goodness me, it's, you know, socially conscious. You know, get your thinking, get your laughing, get your emotions engaged. Art that is so much part of Fringe. It would be remiss of me not to ask at this time. I mean, you know, here we are gearing up for Fringe Festival in later in the year. You know, sort of how's everything going at, in terms of the festival as a whole, Simon, because it's just such a big part of the Melbourne art scene.
It sure is. Look, everything's going very well. We launch our program on the 22nd of August. So not long now, what's that, about 5 or 6 weeks?
Yep.
We'll be launching 500 shows out into the world. So at the moment, this is the only show we've announced as a special sort of preview. But I'm really excited about this year's festival, which I know what's going to be in it, and I can't wait to share it with everyone on the 22nd of August. But, you know, it's another big, ambitious, exciting work with international work and First Nations work and lots of work by incredible gender diverse and trans and queer people right across Victoria. So I know it's going to be another fantastic festival.
Yeah, look, I remember going to the launch of one of the Fringe festivals. I think it was either 22 or 3, and just the amount of diversity, which you know, you mentioned at the time, in sort of queer, in particular trans, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander First Nations, was just Absolutely brilliant. I mean, this is what we need. These are the issues that need to be talked about at the moment. And one of our listeners is going to, I'll get to our listeners' messages on a different topic, but a sort of other side of the coin on this, so to speak, very shortly. But, it's just so great. And often, I think that all sorts of organisations, whether it's an arts festival, a workplace, whatever, have trouble perhaps getting that diversity in. I might ask, what has Melbourne Fringe done to make sure it gets it? Can you drill into the detail of that? Because it is so important. Yes, it's good to start with values and all that sort of thing. Then you've got to do the work. How did that go? What was sort of things happened to that made Melbourne Fringe get to this point?
Yeah, I guess, for us, it's just so central to our values to be the most inclusive and accessible place for art making in this city. And so because that's what we say to the world, we live those values. When you come to Trades Hall, so the Trades Hall is where we have our Fringe Hub. When you come to Trades Hall, it is absolutely, rising with incredible queer energy. You feel instantly like it's a safe place, and we work really hard to profile, queer and trans and disabled and First Nations people in our club and in our program and on staff, So I think also when artists come along, they can feel that we mean it because it's run by all of those, incredibly diverse populations. They're on staff working for us. They're the artists in the building. And so audiences feel safe at Melbourne Fringe as well.
Yep, that's the important thing. I mean, it's getting into, as I say, getting into that detail that is, so critical. I mean, you can start doing that, but it's creating that feel, and you've done that by bringing in the various people. But we know, I'm just going to take this one step further, people, have come, experienced as much as I sometimes don't like using the word, but disadvantage through discrimination and negativity may have barriers. Sort of, did you identify any particular barriers to inclusion for groups? What were they? How did you overcome them? Because I think that's just so important to understand so we can get to the aim of being genuinely more inclusive and intersectional.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do. We have an equity action plan. We have a disability action and inclusion plan. We have a First Nations engagement plan, So we have put in place all of those programs that are about reducing barriers to access. And it's also so deep in our programming. We have Deadly Fringe, which is our First Nations commissioning and support program. And we have Access Fringe, which is our program for deaf and disabled artists. And the whole festival is really supporting, queer and trans artists. So I think because we have these quite targeted programs, they're really saying, come in, this is the place for you, this is where you belong.
Like, excellent. And we know that, I can only speak I'll speak here for parts of my own identity, that queer people, including trans, are just creative and, sort of lateral thinking and all that sort of stuff. So we need places to get that creativity that's out there. So it's very, very cool to have this. And this, given Krishna's background, is, highly intersectional, which is also what we need as well. So it's like excellently excellent. Let's bring it.
I love that. Absolutely. And also, it's about making amazing art. We're not simply giving people a platform to tick a diversity box. We've also got amazing, incredible artists who've got things to say, yep, who are going to make some of the best art in the world, And the fact that that's made by a trans, queer artist of colour is irrelevant, It's about creating a platform for the best possible art. And the fact that we get to celebrate trans communities and queer family making is absolutely a bonus. That's so central to what we're doing. But we're also making incredible, amazing art.
Well, it's a win-win that we get the diversity and the quality of art. I mean, everyone is better off. Audiences, participants, festival, art scene, and away we go. So we like win-win solutions in a world that seems very divided at times. That's a good thing to have. So coming back to first trimester, if people's curiosity has been piqued with a big Q in it for queer, how do people get involved in first trimester if this is something of interest?
Yeah, so you can head right now to melbournefringe.com.au, and at Melbourne Fringe website, you can sign up now to meet our participation coordinator and sign up to be interviewed live on stage. So we're definitely encouraging people to do that, whether you can produce sperm or not, whether you want to go through with being a sperm donor or not. Anyone who wants to have a conversation with Krishna, 10 minutes live on stage, you sign up now. Anyone who thinks that's not for them but they just want to come and see it, you can also sign up to the pre-sale and be the first to get a ticket when they go on sale as well. So all of that is at melbournefringe.com.au right now.
And what specific dates will it all culminate if you do sign up? When will first trimester happen and specifically where?
First trimester will be happening at Arts House in North Melbourne, and it happens on the 9th, 10th and 11th of October as part of the Melbourne Fringe.
9th, 10th and 11th. Okay then. Cool. And, of course, the whole Fringe Festival kicks off, can't get any later in September, 30th of September through to 19th of October. And as you said, the full program launch rockets off on the 22nd of August. Simon, anything else you wanted to add about first trimester and Fringe? I think we've got it covered, but it's you've got the microphone, as they say.
Oh, thanks, Sally. Look, just that it'll be a great time. And I think it's really a project that matters. It's really a project, you know, when the world seems to be falling apart and getting more and more divisive. This is the kind of art we need to make that celebrates queer people, trans people, family making in that context, and really does that in a participatory, celebratory way. So I really encourage people to sign up, be part of a 10-minute conversation on stage and lend their voice to a more inclusive world.
It sounds pretty good to me. Certainly Fringe, a highlight of Melbourne Arts Festival, and I was involved in 2023, not last year. So, if you need an MC anywhere, let me know, or someone who can combine, and here it is at 27 minutes and 40 seconds, combination of professional wrestling and Melbourne Fringe. Let me know. There's the wrestling reference. That's our running in joke on this show. There it is. Look, I'm looking forward to this, and hopefully we'll be able to get Krishna either into the studio or on the line in some way prior to October to have a chat and get an update on it all.
That sounds brilliant. I can't wait to see you at the event, and we'll get Krishna on the show as well.
All right then, Simon, thanks very much. Keep creating, keep doing all the good things that you do, and have a great Sunday afternoon as well.
Brilliant. Thanks. Talk to you soon. Thanks,
Simon.
Bye.
Simon Abrahams, Creative Director of Melbourne Fringe, about how you can participate verbally in first trimester in October as part of Melbourne Fringe. And as was stated by Simon, go to melbournefringe.com.au if you want to sign up. All right, let's have some music, and continuing on a sort of family-ish theme. Anyone would think this show is organised, and you'd be massively wrong. I dug up this track, which is an instrumental by Tommy Emmanuel, the great guitarist from The Journey, and appropriately it's called Like Family. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand. Out of the Pan with Sally.
Trans Family is a not-for-profit organization providing a peer support group for loved ones, including parents, siblings, extended family, and friends of a trans and gender diverse person. Trans Family runs discussion groups in person and online. We offer a safe space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your situation, and provide peer support. We are especially keen to hear from loved ones in regional and rural Victoria. Donations to Trans Family are tax deductible. For more information, visit transfamily.org.au or look for us on Facebook. Trans Family is a 3CR supporter.
Out of the Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. We just heard from Tommy Emmanuel from the Journey album and Like Family. And yes, if you're someone who's thinking about families in terms of sperm donation, and you don't have to necessarily do it, as was said by Simon Abrahams, creative director of Melbourne Fringe, go to melbournefringe.com.au, and I've, after the acknowledgement of country, and you click on that, it's right on the front page there. First trimester, sign up to participate. Yes. Now, I will, as I said, wasn't necessarily expecting content notes, but they can come up, and I'm going to do them here because we obviously have some difficult topics to come out. Content notes for homophobic hate and hate generally. So I will give the number for Q Life, which includes Switchboard in Victoria and Tasmania, 1800 184 527, and I'll also give Lifeline here, 13114. Roving has written in, Roving Reporter, hello to you. Get to your questions now. Can we please discuss the ugly attacks at some of our venues that happened with graffiti at these venues? And the one that I was aware of just after I came off air last Sunday was when it broke, was the situation at the fabulous Laird. Hello to bears therein. Woof, but not too woofy with homophobic graffiti scrawled outside the venue. I'm not going to, I don't see any, and also Eagle Leather, it seems, was vandalised as well. I'm not going to mention what the wording was. I don't see that that gives any point, and it only, in my opinion, succumbs to the people doing it, for whatever strange, ridiculous, illogical reason. Image of a, we'll say, a well-known Australian who had nothing to do with gay or any minorities to my knowledge. And the same graffiti was used on the Holocaust Museum in Elsternwick. So one wonders whether these attacks are linked. Now, the thing that gets me, there's so many things about this. First of all, it's just, what is, we can get into deep philosophical and spiritual debates about, there's positive and negative in the world, yin and yang, and, love, and, I don't know, dark needs light or something like that. I'm not sure about that. But I just don't understand, in practical terms, the point of people hating on a minority. I never have. You can get into analysis and say, it's fear of difference or something. I don't even really think it can be that in a connected world. We know what the truth is. It's people just revving up emotion, maybe for the sake of it, maybe they've got their own problems. But it's just, there might be any number of explanations, but there is not one excuse for this sort of hate on either gay people or queer people, including trans, and the Jewish community, for that matter. There's no excuse on any excuse for hate on any community at all, whether it's Islamophobia, whatever else it is. And, you know, it just, and this just vandalism and, you know, the difficult topic, burning down a synagogue, burning, setting fire to a synagogue at the door, invading a restaurant. I honestly don't understand what that's going to achieve for anyone, or certainly how it's going to achieve anything positive. Just seems like a lot of emotion or revving up for the sake of revving up. Now, Roving has asked, why is there such a huge amount of hate in Melbourne these past couple of weeks? Now, I don't know why these past couple of weeks. That would only be speculation on my part. Was it coordinated? Was it someone who decided to do all these attacks at once? Was it just, you know, was there, I don't think there matters really perhaps when it's happened. Why is there hate in Melbourne? Why is there hate anywhere? I don't know the answer to that, as I said. But I know we have to find effective ways to stop it. And this is where we get into the debates. Roving has asked, is it time we had an equality officer? I'm presuming, Roving, you're talking about a federal LGBTI equality officer, the same as there is an envoy for the Jewish community. Well, declaring my interest as a committee member of Just Equal Australia, a grassroots not-for-profit advocacy organisation for our communities. We've been advocating this for nine years now, do my maths right, and it seems to have fallen off the radar with the cautiousness, if I can be diplomatic, of the federal Labor government. And that's an issue that I think, you know, I'm going to come back to maybe another time, or maybe go into why are they being cautious on queer issues? Do they think it's all done because of marriage? Are they not getting good advice from places? Are they only listening to what they want to hear, doing what they want to do? There's so many questions that need to be debated, and I think that's 3CR has to play a part in that debate, because we are seeing this increase in hate, overall, including on queer communities. And certainly we need a federal equality officer. There's been huge success with the role of the commish. We had the first commish, Victorian LGBTIQ commish, on the show last week in Roallen, since succeeded by Todd Fernando and now the fabulous Joe Ball. They've done great things in Victoria, and I think it's needed federally so we can get a voice in and get heard. There's concerns about whether, you know, as I say, there's some, is it possible, we'll say, that Labor is surrounding itself with yes people from queer communities. I'm hearing that a bit, both federally and in some of at the state and territory level as well. And that's problematic. So an equality officer, I think, would help, but it's how that equality officer was appointed. There'd have to be a very transparent appointment process, and not just, and I'm being a little cynical here, power suits doing the interviews. There would need to be, in my opinion, community representatives to ask tough, unscripted questions of candidates at job interviews. I've talked about it before, I'm going to bring it up again. Trans people were thrown under the bus during the postal survey. People, variation of sex characteristics, thrown under the bus over the census, and that's not acceptable. And there's no excuse for that. It's just, and if we don't get the voice in there in the first place, if our voices are too timid, if that is a problem, then we have to make sure people who get such a role are going to be prepared to stand up for all of us and not just do the simple, low-hanging fruit, easy, pragmatic stuff. Synagogues and Jewish businesses targeted in Melbourne. And Roving has, as Roving notes, we must be more vigilant now with all minorities. Yes, we need to, and we need to come together and do something about it. And, I mean, it's all part of it. And in Victoria generally, are we perfect? Of course not. We pride ourselves on what we're trying to do to bring about greater diversity, inclusion, you know, at a genuine level and respect. We've now got, you know, a truth-telling commission here in Victoria, at least, and those sorts of things. That the state government's forging ahead, which is great. So we can do it with one group, while we need to do it with all, and we need to do it all together. And if there's good process on dialogue that can try to keep emotions down and, you know, or not keep them down, I'll say acknowledge them, but not let them get out of control, which obviously, you know, there are people who want emotion. They want emotion, so they can polarise. Some elements of commercial media might want ratings, points and clickbait. Those are the sorts of things that we need to avoid, but and how we get that debate going and get it out there, that, you know, we can, you know, people are people, that sort of thing, that we see the difference, we acknowledge it, but we can still live together calmly and peacefully is an important thing. Roving has said that disenfranchised groups like to lash out too, and some of it is linked to growing inequality in our world and the othering of people. Yep, that's a fair call, Roving. I'd agree with that. So there's lots to consider here. Welcome everyone's thoughts on all our contact lines for this show. 941 983 77 is 3CR's number. I'll go to a track in a minute, and if there's anyone who wants to ring on that, take a call. But electronically is probably better. Out of the pan, 855@gmail.com, SMS 61456751215, Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, Instagram @SalGoldSaidSo, Facebook, my page, Sally Goldner, and Out of the Pan, 3CR, 855 AM, Melbourne. And as for your last comment, well, Roving has said they were planning to make a beef Wellington last week, but lost my appetite for some strange reason. Maybe you didn't have mushroom in your stomach. Ah, dear. All right, let's have some more music, I think, with that, get that out of the way. And continuing on the family-ish type of theme, which one will we go to next? We'll have a think about this. I think we'll combine the family and the environment, given 3CR's commitment to environment shows. Here's a classic from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, from their classic triple album way back in the early 70s, Dirt, Silver and Gold, and Mother Earth Provides for Me. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
Mother Earth sails on the sea. 3CR has all kinds of music programs for you to hear. From blues to hip-hop, reggae, classical, punk, jazz, soul, indigenous, experimental, indie, metal and other music styles. Check out 3cr.org.au on the World Wide Web for more info.
Justice, diversity, community, politics, sport.
Join us every Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m.
No. We now start at 3:30 for an hour.
For the Sporting Record.
Or check out the Sporting Record podcasts available on Spotify, Apple, 3cr.org, wherever.
Baseball. Basketball.
3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thank you for your company. A couple more messages in. I'm not quite sure what this one is. In regards to the Aaron Patterson case, some people are attacking the good doctor and his colourful words used in private on air, and I'm not sure what that's about, to be honest, Roving. Weaponizing feminism towards extraordinary health professionals working under extreme pressure to stop crime. I honestly don't know a lot. I must be one out of 8 billion, 8.2 billion in the world who hasn't been following it in great detail. So I'm honestly not sure about that one, Roving. But there's a good podcast to listen to is Truth, Lies and Politics with Nicole Shavastic and guest. And they were talking about how this is sort of being reversed, that a woman who, well, has now been proven by a court to have done what she did, you know, oh, this means women, you know, it's a sort of attacking angry women sort of thing. So it's an anti-feminist type approach. That's the only thought that comes to mind there. John has a message in. Hello, John. Good to hear from you. Quote, the amount of racism and homophobia on TikTok is extraordinary. What are we going to do about it? This is a good question, John. And I suppose it comes to the heart of the issues we're talking about. I don't agree with what the anti-Semitism envoy is proposing at universities, particularly in a university setting. Education does need a greater degree of freedom of expression to explore ideas, and that's both in terms of the work of the university itself and, we'll say, call it the whole of campus life. But it's the other two other things that always get ignored in these debates is how do we encourage responsibility? What does that mean? And I suppose that answers perhaps the TikTok question as well. And we just don't hear about people being responsible anymore. And, you know, at risk of sounding like a get off your lawn person, I was brought up with ideas like take responsibility of yourself, think of the consequences of your actions, think about people other than yourself. So we're not considering the impact on other people when we're doing racism, homophobia, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia and anything else. And as I said earlier, I can't see why it isn't, just don't do it. So yes, that's certainly, something to consider. Something else to consider is that in a couple of minutes I'll be winding up the show, and then a few minutes after that, and we'll have a last song, and then at 1 o'clock will be Freedom of Species, and they've got a great show that goes right to the heart of thought-provoking ideas about veganism and anarchism combined with US independent scholar activist Nathan Poirier. And I know I got the pronunciation written down for that somewhere and now can't find it. So I'm sorry if I've got that wrong. I should have checked during the song, Naughty Sally. So that's another great show. Rotations at 2, Queering the Air at 3, and Salaam Radio Show at 4. That's your afternoon's great lineup of listening on 3CR. As it always is on Sunday afternoons, and well, every time it's great listening, and 3CR is on, whether it's Sunday afternoons or all of 3CR, is what I'm trying to say. Well, can I? I've had some interesting news from out myself during the week, which I've posted about on Facebook, on my own Facebook page. So if you follow me there, you'll know about it. That at 59 years and 268 days, give or take, I've discovered that I'm in the 94th percentile on the autism spectrum. Talk about coming out late, so to speak, in a sense. I had sort of suspected it. I didn't think it was going to be that high. I thought it was just moderate, but I suppose that says something about how autism, we've understood more about it and, how older queer people may not have, and lots of older people generally, but I think also older queer people, but I'll say sexual orientation and gender identity or sexual romantic orientation and gender identity. I'm not sure about intersex. I need to find out more about that, but it could be the same. We go through all the other stuff and then we might get to neurodivergence, but it has in a sense been more of a relief than anything else. I've been battling with some mental health stuff and now not battling. It seems like this has just put a whole missing piece of jigsaw into my life that has seems to have eased a lot of the anxiety and stuff. So hopefully that's going to be good, but I'll be probably, well, I won't say boring you to tears. You'll probably hear more about this journey. If it wasn't going to mention, then the line came up in the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band song, I am on a journey. Well, we all are. I suppose we keep journeying. So yes, I'm in the on the spectrum with a lot of queers, and as we joke in wrestling, about 99.4% of people in wrestling. So you've got a bonus wrestling reference today. Oh dear, now everyone's going to turn off. I'd better get out of here and make way for freedom of species. I'll take it out today in line of everything we've discussed, all three main topics today. I'll take it out with Kate Sobrano and a track from her Think About It album from 1991. Everything will be all right. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next week.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.